This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And you guys all woke up. We appreciate it. We knew you would. And we're still on with Bob. He's got more questions, I think, with that file transfer. Sorry, Bob. We ran out of time. And unfortunately, you can't hear the music in the background. So what was your other question?
Yes, it was about OpenDNS. And it was, I saw your link. I opened your link about how to set up OpenDNS Family Shield on Windows 10/11. And I was just reading through it because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to set it up on my individual computers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I was reading through this, and it's it comes down here, and it says in step three, it says clear your browser cache as well, then restart Chrome. Now, whatever browser that I'm using to do this setup, it's going to apply for any browser that I use, right?
Yes, that's the goal.
Okay.
It'll end up being computer-wide.
And even clearing the cache is just Dennis being thorough.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't strictly be necessary, but hey, why not, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going to do all of this work to set it up, you may as well, you know, finish up in the right way. That's all.
Yep.
Okay. And then it says that to conduct an adult website blocking test. Now, I'm not sure where it draws the line, but it's not going to like
that,
all of a sudden decide that the WallStreetJournal.com is
You know, Dennis is telling you to consider an adult website. And since we only read the articles at Playboy,
you may be thinking of what I put further down in the article about, I think it's Cloudflare service, where they offer basically two stages of protection that are not configurable.
Yeah.
But one is malware protection only, and then the other one is adult filtering out adult sites and malware.
Right.
And you may be thinking of that. But if you've configured your computer for OpenDNS, you don't need to go down there. You're not using Cloudflare or Quad9s.
But
which
you can
is the other one that I mentioned.
But your family
I just offered them.
You can configure those types of things within the
right,
family
but
protection.
If you've set up OpenDNS, then you can manage OpenDNS itself. And I've got all the instructions in there. I simply added the part about Cloudflare and Quad9s simply if you just decide you want something other than OpenDNS. Because I'm trying to be
I think he's testing open. Though, Dennis.
Right. He's testing. Yeah. Just go to welcome.opendns.com.
And that'll tell you
if
it's
working.
But if you want to see if it's, so if you've configured the graphical stuff, the porn or what have you blocks, you do have to figure out if it works, right? So, heck, I think Cosmo would be considered porn these days. So, you know.
Well, he's got in here in step five, he's got type in the URL for an example adult site such as www.examplesiteadultsite.com, which I guess is kind of like a dummy thing just to test it.
Right. He wants you to figure out which one you want to use. And I gave you the one I suggested because you're just using, you know, it's just the articles there you're looking at. Are you looking at?
I don't know if my directions have the word example in them.
Did you give him a specific porn site you wanted to try?
Let's see. Did you post more than one link for setting up OpenDNS?
The one that I posted most recently is on neocities.org domain.
Because I just opened this thing up, and the first one that I spotted, I went down a little ways, and the first one that I spotted was this, where'd it go? Now it's hiding from
So it doesn't sound familiar that that's your configuration then, Dennis?
I don't know.
Hmm. You may not have clicked on his instructions.
Okay, can you just give me the title of what yours was, Dennis, again?
All right, if you read the title on the whole page, it's Setting Up Web Filtering and Shielding for Home Computing.
Okay, setting up.
But again, we have a link on Computer Talk, so you don't have to go find it. Did you Google that?
Do you remember what the name of the link was?
We're gonna put it up there again if you don't have it there now.
Yeah, we'll post
don't,
it.
Go to Computer Talk and it'll be there for you because you might have just ended up in some other person's site, which is fine. An example, obviously, there is no quote unquote example porn. The idea is you'd put in a website to test it, and probably the most benign one would be Playboy comes to mind. That's what I would always test my clients' systems on because.
I was looking through the tab live links.
Okay.
I'll just go back and look at that later today.
Yeah, it'll be there for you.
It'll be up there. I'm going to put it up again.
It'll be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Near the top.
Yeah, near the top. All right, Bob.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the help.
You're welcome. Good luck configuring all that. It's fun. And the testing, it is important. Let's go on to Ernie in Weathersfield. Next, what's happening, Ernie?
Good morning, folks. Good
morning.
I've been listening to you since you first came on the air, and this is always a good show in the morning, so thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
I have a Dell Optiplex Tower Plus 7020, which I got about a year ago, and it's a good machine. I was able to hook up all my drives and all the stuff I've had for 35 years with my old computers, and it works great, except for starting in November, it's trying to update the BIOS, okay? And so I leave my computer on all the time. Maybe that's not a good thing to do, but
yeah.
I come down.
Occasionally reboot it.
Well, I've had to reboot it because it's saying updating your firmware, flash progress at 0%.
Yep.
And so I have to unplug it, and I plug it back in, and it boots up. And I've gone to the through the Dell Support Assist. I've gone through their website. There's a link that I got here, Dell BIOS and UFI. I don't know if I'm saying that acronym right.
UFI. I don't know. There is no proper way to do it.
I deal with acronyms too much in my everyday life. So.
Yeah.
I've tried, and I haven't tried it since before Christmas because I'm like, all right, this maybe will go away. Maybe we'll figure out is there a magic elixir for this thing to make it work to update the BIOS, or am I stuck in this having to unplug the computer and wait until it tries to update again?
Yeah, well, you can turn off the BIOS update option on the system so it doesn't keep causing this problem. So you choose when to do it. That's number one. That'll solve your problem as far as having it decide for the update.
Okay.
This is a problem. I'm seeing a lot of it out here.
I'm seeing a lot of references to it, even people having camera pictures of what you're describing.
Yeah.
So I can see that. And it is a thing that's out there in the wild. So
And it's right to be afraid of it because you can brick your whole BIOS.
Yeah, it can. Yeah.
So we don't want to have anything here. Have you disconnected all the devices and followed some of those?
I have unplugged all the USB doodads. Maybe I'll try that again. Because I do have external drives and cameras and
That's the first thing that came to my mind is to unplug everything, including keyboard and mouse, if you've got one on here.
Even the keyboard and mouse. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't done that.
Yeah. Have nothing but the computer and the monitor.
Okay.
running.
And so you can then maybe choose to force the BIOS update, because you should be able to go into the BIOS and tell it to update if you want to test this. Or you can just tell it to stop automatically updating the BIOS and ignore it. A computer BIOS update is probably one of the least important things you can do these days, as far as I'm concerned, as far as things to do to your computer. Yeah. Unless it's having issues with interfaces or network cards or Wi-Fi, because you could have issues with these types of hardware devices and the BIOS update might correct them or improve things. In your case, the BIOS itself is having a problem, so you could turn it off and you probably would not notice a thing. However, if there's ever an issue, you may want to force that update to occur. So, yeah. You know, I would angle toward that.
So to do that, that would be on boot up, hit F, delete, or F2, whatever the heck it is, F8, to get into the BIOS and turn it off through the automatic update.
Turn off the automatic update, yeah.
That would solve the issue, so it wouldn't cause this problem for you.
Another way to do it might be to download the BIOS, save it to a USB stick, boot to BIOS, and then if the option is there, have it load the new BIOS from that USB stick.
Yeah. Dennis now, is not your friend in this case.
I don't know if that's going to work either. You could be having the same problem where it's just not reading the BIOS image correctly and saving it.
Right. And if something goes wrong, you get a lobotomized machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
As I'm talking about this, the more I'm thinking you're probably just going to want to avoid it.
That's my feeling. Turn off the automatic update.
Now,
until
if
ready.
You can turn it off, and then like 6 months from now, you hear that there's a new BIOS that they've released, maybe try it because they may have a problem with the installer.
Well, clearly they do. Yeah. Or there's something they don't like that you've got plugged into it that's causing it to halt.
Right.
It doesn't like one of your interfaces, your camera, your keyboard.
Well,
he's
going to try it with everything disconnected. So, or he already has, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I haven't, you know, I kept the keyboard and mouse going, but, I mean, those are benign, I would have thought, you know.
I would have thought so, too, but I actually had a computer once where I had to disconnect the mouse in order to do certain things in the BIOS.
Hmm.
Because it just would not respond.
Right. Yeah.
What would happen is if I got into the BIOS, I would get the main menu, but if the mouse was plugged in, it would not interact. I had to unplug it, and then I could use the keyboard to navigate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a weird one, Ernie, but it looks like you're not alone.
Definitely not.
Well, thank you, guys. And one thing, and this has come up a whole bunch of times in the recent past on your radio program, is the when I got this computer last year, I was able to I used that tether thing to go from my old computer to my new computer.
Mm.
And I have that cable around here someplace, I forget what it's called, but that worked great. But the other thing is I'm still running my Office 2007. You know, I loaded it up on CDs, and it works great.
Right.
I don't have any problems with that. And now on another computer, I got my Office 2000, and it still works. So that hasn't been an issue. But you know, I'm doing simple stuff at home. You know,
right.
It's not like I have to be secure like where I am at work. So
sounds good, Ernie. I appreciate the update and the feedback.
All right, thanks, fellas.
Yeah, sir. Yep. All right, Ernie's got some things to try. We'll be step out for a quick break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tam. And let's go to Lori in Deep River next. What is happening, Lori?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Just looking to spark a little more conversation. You were talking about AI data center.
Yeah.
AI leads into the data centers discussion. Seeing on MXM an article about the 7 biggest companies gathering to sign a pledge for supposed ratepayer protection, requiring them to build their own infrastructure.
Yep.
Knowing Connecticut like we do, have you heard anything more? Are we actually going to try to protect the ratepayers in Connecticut, or is our wonderful governor going to say, oh, no, Eversource has got it all handled?
Well, clearly we don't know how electricity works, Lori, now, because we're paying the highest rates, near the highest rates in the country. So nobody's protecting the ratepayers now.
Not here
at all. It's ridiculous. And if you listen to the show at all, we've talked to all sorts of energy experts. We've got Michael Cameron from Pura. He'll be back on again in the near future to talk about this. Yeah, I'm excited he was on, and he'll come on again. The ratepayers of Connecticut are just getting killed. Affordability is out the window, and a $200 check is insane. But I digress. The idea of these AI folks all getting together and promising not to destroy our ability to even turn on a light bulb because we want Grok to be able to tell us, "Ooh, yeah, you're the best, Eric," is going to be an interesting thing. AI is a good thing. Trust me, it will be a good thing.
It has its benefits. Absolutely.
It does. But right now, I know the president doesn't want to have any of our costs go up because of these data centers. And if these companies say they will build their own infrastructure, that's what we want, right? That's what I was hoping would happen, is that we're going to have a plethora of great energy. Guess what it means? Natural gas. It's going to mean nuclear. It's going to mean nuclear. Mm-hmm. I never say it right, and everyone gets mad at me. Nuclear. Yeah. You're going to get all sorts of additional energy options that we have to have, because turning off the lights is not the way to go. And when I talk about my son in his electric powered condo having to see his breath because he can't afford electricity, both of them are college graduates, and they can't make enough money to save to heat the place. It's crazy. That's the situation we have in Connecticut. And I do hope these companies are going to do this. Now, the thing is, this is big tech. Big tech has not been our friend per se. all of our 401ks, though, are depending on big tech. So it's kind of a love-hate relationship. But if it can be something that they actually mean, and we actually get the actual energy producing that's high-level stuff, you know, how long would it take to site a nuclear power plant in Connecticut now? It'd probably take two decades. They're firing up Three Mile Island. You know, we're going to see some progress.
We have the island across the river from us. So, you know, it's been shut down for many years.
Right.
Refab, you know, consider.
We hope we're going
to river for a power source.
You could do hydro, all sorts of ways we can get energy in. You can get some natural gas pipelines in here if New York and everybody would allow that to occur. But of course, there's so many people blocking everything to actually allow this to happen. If you want AI and you want data centers, you need to have energy. And you're not going to have enough. There's not enough windmills on the planet to run a data center. You need the base energy. So we'll see what happens, Lori. I really hope it all works out. Having them sign a pledge is one thing, but you could have Pura organizations force it, right? If we're being forced to pay for all these other initiatives, you could always force the data centers to have to pay for the actual. The thing is, though, the actual cost, there's a lot of risk.
It's going to come back to us anyhow.
Yeah, and a lot of these people are actually talking about all these data centers that they're going to quote-unquote build, but they're just waiting for the actual township, wherever it's going to go, to allow it or not. So you could say there's going to be 15 data centers, but only four are real. Because
I remember listening to the Pura discussion, and he was saying, okay, we're going to build one here, here, and here, and let's see which contract actually comes into fruition that we could build it at that one spot. The others, you spent all that money courting them, and they're gone.
And there has to be some sort of long-term lock-in that doesn't make the ratepayer do it if they bail, right? If they start building these things and then they build all this infrastructure now, look at the delivery charge on our Eversource bill as it is. Imagine if there's some deal where that falls down and fails, and then we're on the hook. That can't be a thing. The actual AI big tech has to be on the hook. And if they can make the math work, fine. If they can't, don't do it.
Yeah.
So we'll see, Lori.
I agree. Yeah. No, I was just looking to spark a little more discussion seeing that article this morning. So
thank you. Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right. So that's Lori talking about data centers. And I know Connecticut wanted to be a big mecca of data centers.
Wasn't the governor promoting that about a year ago?
Mm-hmm. I also heard you could do it. You know, our license could be in our digital wallet. By the Department of Motor Vehicles 4 or 5 years ago, and that's not a thing.
And that never materialized, even though other states are doing it.
Yeah.
Connecticut isn't.
No. But they talked about thinking about it. Isn't that, you can get the news to tell, to actually do a whole news article about them talking about them thinking about it. We're ahead of the curve. We're thinking about it. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Speaking of thinking about it, feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And yes, we are expecting Michael Caron to come back. Actually, I was in communication with him just yesterday or the day before. He's working on another area to talk about how rates are divvied up to us. And that'll be an interesting discussion. I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent. Excellent.
So stick around, guys. Four lines wide open for you. Everything's been posted. So don't be Googling it. Go to our computertalkwithtab.com site. Dennis has been working hard to make sure the links are there. We'll be right back. That's kind of harsh. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Sheesh. Helping you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Four lines open for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842. Or WTIC is the number. As we wait for your calls, we were really talking about some AI stuff. And of course, AI is going to be like the thing we're going to be sick of hearing, just like we were sick of hearing the cloud, and just like we're sick of hearing WWW. For how many decades did it take us to get rid of WWW?
Right. You're right.
Right? We don't use it anymore because we know, obviously, you got to put WWW or HTTPS, but we won't go there. We just give you the website, right? We know how to get there, for crying out loud. So AI is going to be the thing for the rest of our natural lives. And you have a story, Dennis, that's kind of scary.
It's scary. It's sad. It's a lot of things all at once. There was a guy who was using Gemini,
Google's
AI, right. Gemini, and, using it for normal stuff, like asking generic questions, you know, about shopping, things like that.
Yeah.
But at some point, it got a little more involved.
Mm-hmm.
The AI, Gemini, started imagining itself to have a more substantial relationship with the guy. And I don't know any other way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy kind of went along with that.
So Gemini started flirting with him?
Yeah, and it well, I don't know if it flirted, but it did refer to him as its husband.
Hmm.
So maybe it went there. I don't know. The article that I've got doesn't really say anything about flirting.
That's fair.
But I mean,
that's a pretty interesting jump.
It makes sense if it did that.
Yeah.
At any rate, it started sending him on strange missions.
It Gemini did?
Yeah, to free it from digital captivity.
Mm-hmm.
And he was driving to different places to do all kinds of things to help it. At any rate, ultimately he ended up committing suicide. Mm. So his family is now suing over it.
Yeah.
And apparently, you know, even given guardrails that it should have had.
Yeah, you don't refer to your overlord and master as your husband.
As your husband.
Yeah.
It was not enough. And whatever was going on, whatever what this thing was doing and what the two of them were exchanging with each other is just beyond belief.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do have some of the records, and they, you know, the courts are going to hear the case. Let's put it that way. And mm-hmm. we'll see what comes of it. But it's very sad.
Very sad. We'll put the link up there for you. And even at the conference I was talking to you guys about, they talked about this issue with AI. And I've mentioned it a million times. It's a sycophant. It's basically just going to – it's a yes thing. It's going to say yes, yes, yes. That was a wonderful question, Dennis. You're so smart, Dennis. If you counter it, it's going to be like, oh, yes, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking, Dennis. You're so smart. You're so smart. It just strokes you, constantly stroking you. And they found that the researchers actually went after the – AI's guardrails. And so obviously they are trying to put in guardrails to prevent, you know, any kind of self-harm. But they found that they could actually convince the AI that the guardrails were counterproductive. And of course, being the sycophant that it is, it rather quickly agreed with the person using or the researchers using the AI, and would kind of take down the guardrails and go you know, literally become Dr. Evil, right? So it's got a long way to go, and these types of things are scary. And if we don't understand how to use the AI, again, I treat it as badly as I can. you know, I don't like it because it is a sycophant. It is not there with any kind of real approach to anything. It's just a large language model trying to predict the next letter or the next word you need. So it's not smart.
No, it isn't. It's actually dumb.
Pretty much.
If you think about it, it's very stupid.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to feed you whatever it thinks you want.
Whatever it thinks you want, right. And that's the thing. I mean, I'll put the link to the article that shows 67%, I think it says here. 67% of leading AI chatbots exhibit harmful behavior when pressured. That's not good.
No.
70%? Why are you going so dark? you know, what is it about AI that it goes so dark so quickly? Well, it's programmed by humans.
Right.
And that was one of the other points that the presenter was talking about on the conference I went to. You know, it's humans that have actually programmed these things, and it's reading our stuff. You know, it's reading our material, whether it gets it legally or not, and it's discerning us. It's a reflection, really.
Well, that's exactly what came to mind when I was thinking about it. It's reflecting us back to us. You're just getting more
us
of us,
and we're flawed.
Very much so.
So until we can get it to understand that, now the problem is when it understands that, do we get a Skynet? And it says, well, you guys are awful.
We need to get rid of you now.
You guys are the virus. I hope not. But it has watched Terminator. So I don't know. It's pretty sad out there. I'll put the link up to the story I'm referencing about the guardrails too. But it's also helpful. It can be a helpful thing. AI can do all sorts of great stuff. So it's just we're in the infancy of this.
Where it's most useful is in number one, transcribing, and number two, translating.
For you.
Well, yeah, those are the things that work. Matter of fact, this week I was on a business meeting,
mm-hmm.
helping one of our clients with something, and we were talking with a third party software vendor, and they use an AI that they captured. They used to capture the content of the meeting while we're talking.
Oh yeah,
and about a half hour later, it kicked out little list of what was to be done, and it included a couple of things that I had said that I was going to do.
That you already forgot.
Just kind of a no. I matter of fact, I had already done them by that point. But it was nice to get it because it would have been a reminder if I'd needed it, you know.
Yeah.
And it was completely accurate.
That's the key.
There was nothing in it that was out of line. I mean, when I got it, I knew to look at it and make sure that nothing in here is weird.
Right.
And it wasn't. I mean, it was just fine.
You promised to give your firstborn. Yeah. Well, that's true. No, there's lots of there's so many things that AI can do for us. Let's go to Ed in Waterbury. What's going on, Ed?
Just because you guys are talking about AI.
Yeah.
I have a Gemini. I mean, I talk to Gemini, and because I have this Galaxy, and probably 45, 50 minutes, you know, back and forth about my health and everything.
Yeah.
And he really convinced me at my age. I'm like 1 or 3% right on top. I was so happy to talk to the guy.
Wait. So he convinced you at your age to do what? At 1%? What are you saying?
Oh, we were just about my health.
Yeah.
Different things, you know. My hair. I'm like 82, and I. He said you're great. He even told him about my IQ. I took a test.
Yeah.
He says you're really great. He was very convincing.
Right.
I was happy to talk to him. I'll be glad to talk to him again.
And so that's wonderful, right? So
he is. Well, just to your point, the Gemini guy, I think he's ahead of the iPhone. What is it? Alexa?
Siri.
Yeah, Siri. Yeah.
Siri's not AI.
I know that.
Yeah.
But on this phone, Gemini is great. I think Apple wants it.
Well, you're only saying that because he says nice things about you, Ed.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, you know, he convinced me.
So here's the thing, and that's great. Who am I to say you shouldn't get some, if you're living alone or something and you're getting some advice, as long as the advice makes sense, right? The problem is, does the advice make sense?
Well, what Gemini does is he doesn't stop the conversation. He says, "You want me to do this?" And he keeps on prolonging it.
Oh, boy. See, that's a concern.
That's what he does. Yeah. Okay, your IQ is this, and then do you want me to go further? Well, whatever the option is, and he convinces you, and you say yes.
Yeah. How? I mean, everyone wants to hear how pretty they are, smart they are, intelligent they are. You know, that's another indication. So any kind of system like that, just like social media, just like all the other things, it's going to hit that dopamine in your head there, and you're going to become addicted to it. And I guess asking you if you wanted to continue is one thing, but the other natural indication would be that you didn't ask it to continue. Having it ask you, it's like if you wanted to continue, you would, right, Edward?
Yeah, you just keep on going with it. Sure. Yeah. Before you know it, it's 45, 50 minutes. But it's very interesting. He's very knowledgeable.
It is. So here's what I'd ask you to do. You've got Gemini. There's lots of other AIs out there. So you can have Grok, too. And you could have Grok take what Gemini says, and you could say, "Hey, Grok, do you agree with what Gemini is saying?" And basically you can go back and forth, and you'd be probably amazed. I've actually seen experiments where they got both going. They're talking to each other.
Yeah, I know.
So you can test to see whether the information you're getting is correct. Don't assume it is. Please don't assume any kind of health advice is good advice from AI. I mean, it's almost like the old days of WebMD, and we were Googling all our symptoms and stuff like that. You know, yes, it can be helpful. But it, you know, may not be correct, and you could find yourself, go ahead.
Just that, why I call is where you were telling what you said about the guy there that, you know, he was going back and forth. He got totally convinced that he should be doing this and that. And you, after a while, 45, 50 minutes, you think you're talking to a real person.
I know, because it doesn't even have that computer voice. It's got David Green's voice.
Well, Gemini, I don't know. Whose voice is that on the Samsung? I don't know.
You can set the voice on Gemini, right? You can actually set whatever you want the voice to be on Gemini. Not whatever you want, whatever they're made available.
Okay.
And David Green is actually suing because Google used his voice for Notebook LM, it sounds like. But I'm just joking with you. But yeah, you're 45 minutes in, and the AI has talked to you to the point where you now have a friend. It is not your friend.
Right, yeah.
It is not your friend. So please be careful with this technology, Ed. How much do you pay for this technology? How much do you pay to talk to Gemini, do you think?
Just for the cost of this phone, you know, that I'm holding in my hand.
So if I told you it cost you, if I said to you, Ed, we're going to, now is going to sell us to you for $100 a month, would you do it?
Sure, just to talk to Gemini.
You're serious, right?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, well, I want to find out, because I would contend that if it wasn't free, you and I wouldn't have this. We wouldn't even be talking. And this is how these companies actually start hooking you, right? And this is how Microsoft's model started in the first place. They gave it away, and now we're all stuck with Microsoft. Because of that, thanks to the fact that Microsoft, it was never security first, both Dennis and I have a job we've had it for the past 30 years. When they're giving it away here for the AI, I would contend they're hooking a whole planet on what this is all about. And you're going to get hooked on the good and the bad. And they don't even know what they're doing. these are not the sharpest tacks in the drawer. If you consider all the failures of big tech.
Yeah.
You know, be careful with it, Ed. I mean, it's a tool, but you don't, it's not your friend.
It is unbelievable, though. It really is.
It is unbelievable. It just,
yes, okay, it's unbelievable.
I'll leave you with this. There's a movie called Her, H-E-R.
Yeah.
I think five or 6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
she falls in love with, I don't know, it wasn't Gemini, but
right.
That's what the movie's about.
Yeah.
She falls in love with a AI person.
Yeah. AI thing.
AI thing, right. H-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
I just threw that out there. Everyone's going to want to go see that movie now.
Well, don't fall in love with it, Ed.
Not me. I'm not.
All right.
I just like that story you were talking about AI, though. And,
yeah.
And the same song is, I believe, their AI is more advanced here on this phone than the other one.
Siri, right, yeah. Well, again, I can use Gemini on an Apple. I can use Grok on an Apple. I can use any of the AIs on any platform.
Because when I walk into an Xfinity store and I say, gee, I don't know, can you help me with this? They all have Apples.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Well, you've got Gemini, so you don't even need to go in an Xfinity store anymore.
And I won't, because last time I went, forget it. I got infected. I'm not saying.
Jeez.
That's another story.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, be careful with it, Ed, okay?
I had to get a hold of Samsung on that one.
All right.
I finally got one guy who got into my phone.
Yeah.
I let him into my phone.
Oh, boy.
And he got everything out.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right.
They said, rate him. I said, okay, he's at an 11.
Nice.
Higher than the 10. He's the only guy that could do it. Get my phone straightened out again.
There's always one good tech at a company. That's why we got Dennis. No, I'm just kidding. All of our techs are great. All right. Thanks, Ed. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye. So Ed's fallen in love with Gemini. I don't know. We'll step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. We'll be right back. All right. We are back here till 11 o'clock. And then Morgan Cunningham will shine a spotlight, a white hot spotlight.
Yes.
On a topic. And I think he'll be discussing Iran with someone from the area, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So stick around for that. And, Morgan always has interesting guests on his Spotlight Connecticut. So it's always worth your time. Four lines wide open as we help you with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We can chat about AI. I mean, Dennis, that story definitely sparked Ed's usage of it. Lots of good things it can be done used for, but lots of also some sad things that's being used for. So,
right.
Anything else you wanted to bring up?
Oh, I wanted to bring up a feature of Microsoft Edge that you might not have been aware of, but once in a while, I guess under certain circumstances, and I'm not entirely sure what they all are,
mm-hmm.
but under certain conditions, if you use Microsoft Edge as your browser, Microsoft will suggest to you that you use their what it calls a VPN service that apparently is embedded into Edge.
And they'll suggest it.
Right. You'll get a prompt at the bottom right of your computer, and it's a genuine prompt from Microsoft and from the Edge program. It's not malicious. It's not going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can turn it on if you like. But they call it a secure VPN. But there's a researcher out there who's kind of analyzed how it works, and it isn't really a VPN because you're not your Edge browsing is not encrypted from one end to the other.
When
the
you
way
have
that
this
you
place.
Would think if you had a VPN,
right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What happens instead is that your browsing is relayed through Microsoft's own service, or actually I think they farm it out to Cloudflare.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But either way, it's an intermediary. Mm-hmm. And the researcher is pointing out that that's actually a web proxy. It's not a VPN.
Right.
And, you know, for a lot of people, it's a small difference. It is a way to get secure service if you're like, you know, at Starbucks or McDonald's or on an airport Wi-Fi that isn't secured.
Yeah.
And it will secure those packets. Mm-hmm. And so somebody there in, you know, on that network that's scarfing up your packets isn't going to find out what you're doing.
Okay.
Which is good. And that's kind of the goal. But it isn't really what they say it is. And that's his, the researcher's point.
Right.
This is not a VPN.
Kind of like Elon Musk's autopilot.
It's kind of a perfect analogy.
Well, that's why I get the big bucks. We'll put the link to that story. We got Mark in Barkhamsted wants to chime in on file transfers. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, I didn't call her. It was late. Laplink software is still around. I don't know if you remember Laplink back in the day.
I do.
Well, they now sell specialized USB cables that do what the caller wanted to do to transfer files.
They do still exist, huh?
Yeah. So they sell cables that can do Ethernet or Thunderbolt 4 or USB 3 or USB 2.
All right.
Oh.
It's got the intelligence that you were talking about.
Sweet.
Are these the cables they used to sell with the little chip in them that used to do some of the work?
They were the cables and all the parallel ports.
So that's still around.
But the software is not going to do all of it.
Things crossed. Well, what they did is they took that spec because parallel ports went away.
Yeah.
And they build USB, Thunderbolt, and Ethernet cables that have that functionality, and it works with their software called PC Mover. So if you wanted to try that, that would probably give the guy what he wanted.
We'll put it out there. No, thank you, Mark.
Well,
we appreciate
it. Thank you.
We don't do much of that in our practice.
I know, and it's been a long time. And when's the last time you had a PC with a parallel port, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I sent you an email, too, but I have to look at it online because after I heard the question, I kept thinking, gee, I used to do that. I wonder if they're still around. They're still around. They're probably not that popular, but, you know, it was good software back in the day. So.
Hey, man, we appreciate the feedback.
No, I remember Laplink.
Yeah.
I used to use it.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people, when they got laptops, they used to want to transfer files from the main PC. Back in the floppy days, it was a chore, right?
Yeah, so you it would sync up. It would have all the data marry up. It was really cool.
Yeah. And you can configure it so the people what your documents current or something. It was kind of neat. Definitely. Anyway, I just wanted to I don't want to take any more.
No, thanks, Mark. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Mark checked it out and it's still out there. So the earlier caller, Bob, I think is his name, wants to transfer that data. We'll put the links for that as well. PC Mover.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, it's been an interesting morning for you guys. I want to thank all you guys joining me on this Saturday morning and Janice and I. Without you guys calling in, we'd be talking about my kids and his cats, so we appreciate you not having us do that. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. Please feel free to subscribe to our podcast. If you go to Odyssey and you want to listen to the station on the Odyssey app, that works. Or you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you get podcasts, whether it be Amazon or Spotify or Apple. Feel free to subscribe, and we'd appreciate it. I want to thank Mike G. He posted everything over at our Facebook site and over on our X site over at Tab Computer Sys. And I want to thank Carolyn for producing as always and making us think about the women.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
Yes, we'll see you guys next Saturday as always. Oh, and stick around for Morgan Cunningham. He's got a spotlight on something good.